From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. In a moment, all night long, who's behind the secret door? Four surprise guests. I got to figure out who they are. Before we get going, condolences to the family of Dennis Nassar, an avid Coast to Coast fan who recently passed away. According to his friend Giovanni, he loved the program. Here's what's happening. That bipartisan infrastructure bill includes a provision that would require auto manufacturers to equip advanced alcohol monitoring systems in all cars. How about that? Buried in the massive proposal, which is already longer than 2,700 pages, is a section titled Advanced Impaired Driving Technology, which mandates new vehicles include a system that passively and accurately detects whether the blood alcohol concentration of a driver of a motor vehicle is equal to or greater than the blood alcohol concentration of 0.08, in which case the system would prevent or limit motor vehicle operation. Automobile manufacturers would have a 3-year grace period to comply with the regulation. How about that? The Biden administration is developing a plan to require all foreign visitors to the United States to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 as part of eventually lifting travel restrictions that bar much of the world from entering the United States, legally, that is. The White House wants to reopen travel, which would boost business for the airlines and tourism industry, but it's not ready to immediately lift restrictions because of the rising COVID-19 caseload and highly transmittable COVID-19 Delta variant. A majority of Americans say in new polling that the worst of the coronavirus pandemic is still ahead of us. 54% of the respondents said the worst is still ahead of us, compared to 46% who said the worst is behind us in the COVID-19 pandemic, according to a Harris poll. Howard Bloom, author of The Global Brain, with us. Howard, would you agree with those statistics?
Yes. A month ago, at the beginning of July, 70% of Americans surveyed in a Harris poll said that the worst of the COVID pandemic was behind us. But as you've reported, now just 46% still say the worst is behind us, and the majority, 54%, have the opposite opinion, that the worst is still ahead of us. The question is that majority right? And the answer is, unfortunately, yes. Epidemiologist Dr. Michael Osterholm, who leads the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, warns that, quote, almost every single one of the 100 million unvaccinated Americans who haven't had COVID-19 yet will likely get it in the coming months. And you heard that right. Osterholm says that if you haven't been vaccinated, your odds of getting COVID are almost 100%. Or to put it differently, if you haven't gotten vaccinated, you're setting yourself up for death. And some doctors warn that COVID is here to stay. Like the flu and the common cold, you and I will get COVID, they say, at some time in our lives. If you want to live through the experience, you have to be vaccinated. Now, how bad is the new wave caused by the Delta variant? All 50 states now report a rise in COVID cases. Science magazine, the queen of the science journals, reports that COVID cases in the United States skyrocketed from a mere 13,500 cases a day in early June to 106,000 today, close to 10 times as many cases in just 6 weeks. In the states where anti-vaxxers rule, some hospitals are now operating at full capacity, and new COVID-19 victims are waiting up to 14 hours to find a hospital bed, and in some cases, those waits are killing them. Meanwhile, new buzzwords have caught on in the medical community. One is faster, younger, sicker. The virus is hitting younger people. It is taking them from health to the brink of death in as little as 24 hours, and yes, it is killing them. Said Rachel Keach of Missouri's Mercy Health System, I don't remember anyone declining within 24 hours until now. Patients are coming to the hospital sooner. They're requiring higher levels of oxygen faster and then maximizing out on what hospitalists can do and needing to go to the ICU faster. But those getting sick and dying have one unifying characteristic. They are not vaccinated. In other words, if you've dodged the vaccine, the Delta variant of COVID has got you in its sights and it's likely to kill you. Even if you live, it's likely to permanently damage your lungs, your heart, and your brain. And in the last 2 weeks, we've discovered something else strange. The Delta virus can infect the lining of your nose and throat even if you are vaccinated. But the virus can't make you seriously sick. Instead, the virus will use you to spray itself into the faces of others, which is why even if you are vaccinated, you have to wear a mask in public places. But your vaccine will confine the virus to the lining of your breathing passages and won't let the virus into your system. In other words, vaccines protect you from serious illness and death. Vaccines can keep you out of the hospital and, more important, out of the coffin. And masks can save the lives of your friends. Meanwhile, the worst is yet to come. We're about to encounter the Lambda variant, which Newsweek reports has torn through Peru and shows signs of having unusual success in infecting fully vaccinated people. According to Newsweek, the Lambda variant has already spread to Argentina, Chile, Ecuador, Texas, and South Carolina. And then there's what Newsweek calls a doomsday COVID variant. The next variant, warns Dr. Michael Osterholm, could be Delta on steroids.
There's something weird about all of this, though, Howard, and I want you to follow up on this story next week for us, and that is, why isn't anybody mentioning pneumonia deaths, lung disease deaths, flu deaths? It's almost as if everything is being put into COVID. Would you check into that for us?
Yes.
Okay, my friend.
All right, I'll see you next week.
Go to work on it. Agricultural pesticides sold to farmers, ready-mixed, can kill twice as many bees, according to analysis of 90 studies. Researchers used the data to quantify how combinations of those stresses affected the pollinating insects, and they say commercial formulas, which contain multiple chemicals, should now require their own licenses. They are killing the bees as we predicted. Uber Technologies reported widening losses as it spent more to entice drivers to return to its platform, sending shares of the ride-hail and food delivery company down in after-hours trading. Uber posted an adjusted $509 million second-quarter loss before interest, taxes, depreciation. Let's check in with registered investment advisor Mish Shedlock. Mish, I thought Uber would have been making a fortune by now.
Well, one would have thought that. They're having, they had huge problems with COVID. Their stock was hammered a year ago. It's actually mostly recovered from that. It's actually, they lost $500 million before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. However, if you read the fine print of what they lumped into that, George, they threw 12 things into that bucket, including executive stock options, restructuring, and protection for drivers. At least you would think the latter, if they have to provide that, would be an ongoing expense, but they excluded that too. And so their Uber Eats drivers delivering of food has also losing money. The company says they expect to make a profit at the end of the year, again, excluding all of those 12 things. George, color me skeptical. However, I actually do believe that this company is eventually going to make a decent profit. And the reason is, baby boomers, you and I had a love affair with cars and driving them that millennials and Zoomers just don't have. They are ready, willing, and able to take an Uber wherever they want to go. Eventually, unfortunately, the boomers are going to be gone. The millennials and Zoomers are going to rule. And we've got a driving attitude change that's going to come with that, George.
We'll see if you're right, Mish. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Up next, who's behind the secret door? Four guests throughout the night, and I have to guess who they are. We'll take your calls with them each hour as well, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. A couple times a year we have Who's Behind the Secret Door. And how this works is our staff has put together four special guests. I assume they've been on the program before. I've got to guess who they are. And a lot of them try to trick me with their voices and everything else. But once we figure out who they are, or they have to tell me who they are, when I admit that I can't guess, then we go into the interview. We will take your calls each half hour with each one of the four guests as well. So let's open up the secret door, first of all, to let our first guest in. I wouldn't walk through a door like that. Well, hello there, secret guest.
Good evening, George. It's such a pleasure to be on your show this evening.
And how are you, sir?
I am quite happy, feeling very cheerful this night. And how are you this evening?
You're doing a pretty good job of this so far. I'm gonna probe you a little bit here and see if I can guess who you are. Have you been on the program before?
I think I've been on your show before.
Many times?
Do not know how to measure many times, but several times.
Have you had a good experience?
Every time I'm anywhere near you, George, it is a pleasant and wonderful experience.
Gosh, you're good. This one's good. And generally, are you into the paranormal or more of the conspiratorial angle of shows? What do you do?
I think that I'm in more of the normal, sane type of programming.
I got to give up. I don't know who you are.
I am Daniel Brinkley.
My gosh, Daniel, you threw me. Now, you've been on the show before as a secret door guest, and I guessed you. You came up with a great voice this time.
Well, I had to plan it well, so I mixed a Australian and an Indian voice.
Well, you threw me, my friend. Good job.
But George, look at the exciting times that we live in today. This business about UFOs becoming so mainstream that it's not conspiratorial, and then this whole business about COVID. These two things are monumental in the lives of we human beings. I mean, to live to have seen these two things, you know, when I wrote Saved by the Light 25 years ago about an event that happened 45 years ago, I wrote the boxes of knowledge, which became to be the prophetic parts of Saved by the Light. So we're now in the 12th box. Now, this book was written in 1993 and published in 1994. And the title of the 12th box is Technology and the Virus. I describe this entire COVID experience in Saved by the Light from a vision I had in 1975 while dead. The other thing that struck me about this COVID business is I started to look at all the patents. You can follow this COVID patent from 1999 to 2019. And there are 73 patents, and I'm on the 58th patent. So I think it's pretty exciting when you were doing the interview earlier, asking the guy to look at everything, the flu, the
oh my God, yeah.
Cold.
Well, something's going on, Daniel. There are 12 people who have been named by the government as being misinformation people. A lot of them have been on my program. As a matter of fact, I was quoted in the New York Times a few days ago of talking about why we put them down and do their thing and everything else. And there's something weird going on here. Here's one of them that they cite as the worst misleading person, Dr. Joseph Mercola. You've heard of him.
Sure, I know him well.
And
brilliant.
He is pulling down every article he has written over the last 25 years because there's something bothering him. He's afraid of something, and he's changing.
Well, because you get threatened and destroyed, George. This whole thing, when I saw this and wrote about it in Saved by the Light, it's literally about a person who becomes thinking themselves as a deity, the way I wrote it back then. And you can pick out the characters. What always was about this book was when I put the boxes of knowledge in there, Harper fought me over it. And Paul Perry, who you're having on your show on Gaia, Paul Perry is the co-author, and he fought me for me to keep them there.
It is the strangest period I've ever been. If you're opposed to vaccines, and I'm not opposed to vaccines, I think everybody should make up their own mind and decide what they want to do for themselves. You will never hear me say, don't get a vaccine or get a vaccine. I won't say that. But the people who are opposed to vaccines are being prosecuted right now in terms of in the media. Beyond anything I've ever seen, it's as if they can't even have their own opinions anymore. What's happening?
Well, I think what frightens me the most about this, George, is when you look at the ingredients, there are still places you can find the ingredients, graphene oxide, a glyphosate. Okay, when you start to look at this, and then you start to realize that you're going to vaccinate your entire military. All of us who served in the military has had vaccinations.
Yes, we have.
It's not anything new. But the power of what you see as the byproduct of these vaccinations only weakens our ability to fight. This is the part that bothers me about it. The other thing that as I look at, I've always said that the battle for the souls of humankind would be fought in healthcare. And from 1975 or 76, when I could get up and start to walk again, I became a hospice volunteer. And I've dedicated my entire life based on those visions and those boxes of knowledge to be who I am and to study veterans and study palliative and end-of-life care. I think people need to take a really good look and educate themselves. I am not anti-vaccine or pro-vaccine because some people, but I listened to the guest you had earlier describing, I had COVID. I had it like March a year ago, and it was a tough 6 days. But when you look at the survival rate, and anyone who looks at vaccines, George, knows that the variance only weakens as it begins to change itself and genetically modify itself. It only weakens. And so I look at graphene oxide and all of that kind of stuff, and you look at what's in these vaccines, and when you open up the packaging, the entire usually 10 pages of information, they're all blank pages. Why is that?
But
here's what the fun part for me. I saw this happen 45 years ago, and I wrote it down in spiral notebooks. And then I sat down with Paul Perry, because when I looked at people who had this experience and had no one to tell it to or who was criticized, and I watched where Raymond was, Dr. Moody was, I figured someone needed to defend people so that they could tell their story. And I had already gone through it. So I decided people need to pick on somebody their own size, and I decided that person was me. So I take great pride in being out here for over 40 years pushing that there is a life after death, and anybody of the millions of people who read Saved by the Light can see in the 12 boxes of knowledge, which we are in the last box.
We're with Daniel Brinkley, who is our first Secret Door guest. I missed it, so I'm 0-for-1. I've got 3 more chances here. And we're going to continue chatting with him, of course, and we're going to take calls in the second half of this hour with Daniel. So get ready to make the call. He has survived lightning strikes several times. 3 times, isn't it?
2 times and 4 near-death experiences.
Jeez, my gosh.
I have to learn, George.
They don't want you.
What I'm defending. Well, I have to know what I'm defending, so I've been every situation so I can help people make the transition and empower people to be able to face what is guaranteed to happen.
And I want to say this, too, at the outset. Daniel comes on very special every year around Veterans Day with his annual show that he does for us. As you know, he helps the veterans with his Twilight Brigade. And I want to thank you again for that, Daniel. Especially, I saw a comment today by a family member who lost a son in Iraq. And he said, the next time we put our armed forces in a battle situation, we better win. And that was his only request. And thank you for what you do about that.
It's a pleasure and a joy, because people who serve this country need somebody to fight for them. And most of them are alone, George.
That's true.
I see it every day. I have a story I'll tell it after the break about a guy who was in the Bataan Death March, and he was 93 years old, and he'd never talked about it. And then all of a sudden, in the last 7 hours of his life, he had to get it off of his chest, and the family could not deal with it. So they found me, and I went there and walked him through it.
He had it on his chest all those years.
Never talked about it, George. Then all of a sudden, he was in the Bataan Death March. He was watching guys getting stabbed with bayonets.
Oh.
He was talking about it. And then, because I've done this over and over and over. You know, literally, I've been with 2,012 people going from this world to the next. So 350 taking their last breath and watching the process.
Well, let's talk about that story when we come back. Daniel Brinkley, our first Secret Door guest, and we'll take your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Couple emails in. Our listeners guessed it was Daniel Brinkley. I didn't. I'm 0 for 1, but we've got three more to do later. We're going to take calls with Daniel when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Daniel Brinkley, our first Who's Behind the Secret Door guest. And I missed who he was. And Daniel, you were talking about the Bataan Death March between April 9th and April 17th of 1942. 60 to 80,000 American and Filipino prisoners of war marched until they practically died. In many cases, many did, didn't they?
Many did. And this was a 93-year-old guy who had never talked about it. And he was in Boulder City, which is Nevada, and he couldn't handle it. He was finally going to get it off his chest. And so, you know, I've been this so long, so I walked the death march with him as he was describing what was happening. It is horrible what we do to each other in war. And then I got him to talking about his children and getting home. And then we were there in the prison camp watching malaria and starvation. And then I got said, when we get home, what's going to happen? And then I got him to his children and how proud he was that he had survived. And then always that your life has value. When he quit screaming and hollering and the kids came in at about 2:15 in the morning, he was able to say his goodbyes with a lot of love and happiness instead of that terrifying recall about what happened in the Bataan Death March.
Tragic. Let's take some calls here for you, Daniel. And thank you, by the way, for participating in this. It's kind of fun, isn't it?
I enjoy it, George. You know what? I enjoy, and I'd like to tell everybody, if you're in the Seattle area and you listen to this show, do not miss the live show because, you know, what happens if you're on the show, you get a chance to see the people that's the audience, and I've been on this show a bunch of times, and you get a chance to feel and experience them, and people don't realize how well you sing and how great you are. I have photographs of you dressed like Elvis when we did Las Vegas.
I
recorded it, George, and you were terrific.
I got changed behind the stage, and I was panicked that I wasn't tucked in right.
Oh, you were perfect. But everybody, if you're in Seattle, please don't miss. And the other thing I highly recommend is Beyond Belief on Gaia. Please take advantage of watching George instead of just listening and watch that interaction between him and his guest. You know, I am a big fan, and I appreciate what you and Tommy do to bring you live to people.
Thank you, sir. Dana in Grand Rapids, Michigan, welcome to the program. Dana, you're on with Daniel Brinkley.
Hi, Dana. Hi, George.
Hi, Dana.
George, I haven't spoke to you for about 2 years. It was so nice to hear Tommy's voice. I want to put something out there to both of you.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm in Michigan, and we were one of the states that gave, they're giving $1 million for those in the lotto that got the shot between December of this past year, you know, December 2020, and the end of July. And then there were also multiple $50,000 drawings.
Wow.
So, now, keep that in mind. Why would you offer money for something if people don't want to take it? If they're not going to take it, $1 million isn't going to make them take it. Then the other thing I wanted to bring up to you guys, I want you to consider all of these things that are being said. Bill Gates was a big investor in the pharmaceutical companies that developed these vaccines. He's also a pro-population control, whether it be by abortion or eugenics, he is several methods. He's on YouTube stating this, that the population worldwide needs to be decreased. The next thing I wanted to mention is there are literally thousands of doctors and multiple teams of doctors and scientists who have worked on these vaccines who, under anonymity, are coming forward saying that these shots are causing second trimester stillborn births in women and permanent infertility in both men and women in certain circumstances. So all of these things, I believe, have happened and are possible because this is an experimental vaccine. But why is no one connecting this? I believe there's something, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but I start to think, why are you pushing and shaming people and bribing people to take something they don't want to take? So my proposal out there, because this show is heard internationally, is do you guys think this is more about compliance, obedience, and control? Compliance and obedience by citizens of countries worldwide, and control of a certain elite class, that this is a run-up for taking the mark of the beast in the forehead or hand. What do you guys think about that?
Well, Daniel, you know, first of all, people are getting sick of something. There's no question about that. They're all over the place. I mean, they're not making up all these numbers, are they? Did we lose Daniel? Yep. He's fallen off. So I'll answer that for you, Dana. This is the strangest time I have ever seen. And let me go back to you, Dana, because, you know, you're very perceptive in this. This is the strangest time I've ever seen where it just seems like you've got two different camps, those who do not believe anything and those that do. Daniel, do we have you back on?
I'm here, George.
Okay, there you are. Okay.
Did you hear
what Dana was saying?
Yeah, and I describe, if people who read Saved by the Light know, I describe this in detail. Would become one of the wealthiest people, see themselves as a deity, looking at technology to do chip implants. This is the final stage of the 12 boxes over 45 years. I believe that what she is describing is very, very accurate and true. And I believe that the control of people with implants, because I describe in detail everything that's happening. You can read Box 12, George, and you can listen to what she just said, and you will see how it all fits together. I think what's the most important thing for us to observe, the battle for the souls of humankind would be fought in healthcare. I've said it for 45 years.
True.
That's where we are now, and people have to decide.
Did you ever expect it to be like this, though? My gosh, where the camps, the two camps, are so divided. I've never seen anything like this before.
But that's design, George. You got to remember, it's design. And her describing the bribery of people. We're not as dumb. You don't have to be dead to see the scam and the control, just like Dr. Mercola. And I think this guy in Alberta, he has taken the province of Alberta to court to prove, to give him a sample of the COVID virus, and they could not provide it. So I think that what Americans have to do is to file, to show and to see an isolated protein, an isolated COVID protein, just like he did, because now in Alberta, because the state could not prove that a virus exists, no mask, no kids going to school, no kids wearing masks. We're a wise and smart people, George.
I mean, but people are getting sick from something, though.
The flu, George. The flu. Look how the flu kills 2 million people a year.
Worldwide,
like you said,
worldwide.
Yeah, and just like you said, everything gets links to COVID. I mean, everybody knows they were paying hospitals $38,000 for one. Everybody knows that ventilators were not necessary because of blood clotting, this variant of blood clotting, because the hemoglobin blocks it. When you live in end-of-life care like I have, George, for 43 years, the obvious stuff to me.
Well, we lost you again, Daniel. Let me see if we can get him back this way. You there, Daniel?
DARPA.
There you go. You there?
I'm here.
Yeah, you keep dropping out on us.
Well, I apologize.
That's all right. Next up, let's go to Jake in California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jake.
Hi.
Hi, Jake.
This is incredible. I just had this thought of writing down these questions for Danyon about an hour and a half ago, and I had no idea he was going to be on the show.
See, there you go.
I'm a clairvoyant, clairaudient. I had a near-death experience a few years ago, and I just thought maybe we could turn this around just a little bit, give people a little bit of hope, because there's something he said the last time I heard him on the show that was so wonderful and beautiful. I had this in a vision. What he said is so true. There is no judgment. Nobody goes to hell at all. And I did have a couple of questions I want to ask him.
Sure.
And then hope that you could let me talk to Tommy when you're done.
Okay, I'll put you on hold after you're done.
Okay, so the first question is, and I know the answer to the first part, but I'll just say, is there really a hell? Because I've seen a vision of heaven, but I didn't see hell. But I know that we don't go there. It was made clear to me, but is it there a hell for the devil and the demons?
Okay, so I have
Well, we lost Danyon again. Danyon, you there? I'm sorry, folks. He's got some real severe phone problems. Tom, call Danyon back and get him back on and see what you can get. But back to you, Jake, in terms of your question, is there a hell? I've had a lot of guests on the program who are mixed about that.
Mm-hmm.
Some actually say there is a hell, there's a demon, there's a Satan, and others say no, that there is no hell at all. What do you think?
Well, I had this vision of heaven, just a part of it, when I had my second out-of-body experience about 6 weeks after my near-death experience, and I saw my lifetimes all flying by me, and I didn't believe in that stuff, and it freaked me out. I'm seeing this woman for the first time. She's Chinese. I've never seen her before, and I know her. She's part of my soul family, and I was able to access some of the past lives that we had together. And the love that I, and the admiration and the joy that I felt for her. But I never told her because I was afraid she'd think I'm some whack job, you know? So, but I know who she is, and I know I'll see her back in heaven. And it's true. We have about 20 people in our soul families, give or take a little bit. I have 22 in mine.
That's a lot of people. Danyon, I think you're back, and he wanted to know if there's a hell.
Well, I've never seen hell, and if anybody was going, it would have been me. So I always go that there is no hell, but we create a possibility. I call it the blue-gray place, where a person, once you come into this dimension, you have free will. And the choices that you make determine how you are dealt with in this next level of consciousness. You know, in the Bible, in Genesis, it says there are seven heavens. So one of those could possibly be that place. I've listened to people describe hellish experiences. It's about 3% of all near-death experiences. As I listen to them, I can explain away probably 1.5% of that, but there's another 1.5% I can't say. But to understand what I know after making this journey so many times, you are your own judge, and you have to keep in mind this thought, everybody. If you see your whole life pass before you, if God couldn't come today and God sent you in the life you just reviewed, what difference did you and God make? If you look at how you define divinity and God, and that's your mission, you are safe. But I would also remember this. We win. For people to understand, if you look at the final vision in Saved by the Light, we win. We wise up and we catch them and we pin them down, and their story is breaking apart now. So thanks to George and thanks to the people you have on, and thanks for calling. We win, everybody. We are not as dumb as they think we are, and they will not get away with this.
Let's go to one quick question from Laura in Cincinnati. Laura, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
It's an honor to talk to you. Hi. I wanted to ask, my brother passed away last week.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Who?
Her brother.
My brother.
Okay.
And he was in the Army before. I wish you could have been there with him, actually, to help him through, because he was scared. But I was just wondering about the hospice that you're involved in.
The Twilight Brigade.
How can people get a hold of you through that, Danyon?
Just go to The Twilight Brigade. it's up. The Twilight Brigade, you can go there. Bill will get your message and send it to me if that's what's necessary, or if you need someone who is a veteran who needs assistance in transition, you just go there. It's called the Twilight Brigade. We are in our 37th year.
My father was a World War II veteran. He's not with us anymore. How many vets are left from World War II? There can't be many.
There's not many left. We have roughly 20,000 veterans, but most of them are Vietnam and Korea. We have a few, probably 1.2 million World War II. Then it's Korea, Vietnam. And then what's going to happen, one of the things that I see is how they will take the Veterans Administration and mainstream it to national health care. That's what they're trying and are about doing now. But every veteran has a lot of issues, especially combat veterans.
Absolutely. Daniel, you keep in touch with us, my friend. And as always, you're always welcome on the program to talk about these other issues. Let's get your phone system fixed out. But Daniel Brinkley was our first Secret Door guest. We have three others. I still have to guess who they are. I'm 0 for 1. So far, most of the time, I get them right. He did a great job masking his voice, to be sure. Anyways, we'll be back with Secret Door guest number 2 on Coast to Coast AM.